You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, @withZibbyandTracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Enjoy the show. Jillian Laub is a photographer and filmmaker based in New York. She graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison with a degree in comparative literature before studying photography at the International Center of Photography, where her love of visual storytelling and family narratives began. Her first monograph, Testimony, began as a response to the media coverage during the Second Intifada in the Middle East. This work is comprised of portraits and testimonies from Israeli Jews, Israeli Arabs, Lebanese and Palestinians, all directly and indirectly affected by the conflict. Laub spent over a decade working in Georgia, exploring issues of lingering racism in the American South. This work became Laub's first feature-length directed and produced documentary film, Southern Rights, that premiered on HBO. Her monograph, Southern Rights, and traveling exhibition by the same title came out in conjunction with the film and are being used for an educational outreach campaign in schools and institutions around the country. Southern Rights was named one of the best photo books by Time, Smithsonian Vogue, Lens Culture, and American Photo. It was also nominated for a Lucy Award and Humanitas Award. Laub recently received the Distinguished Alumni Award from the University of Wisconsin-Madison and was honored as an NYSCA/NYFA Photography Fellow in 2019. She has been interviewed on NPR, CNN, MSNBC, Good Morning America, Times Talks, and numerous others. She also contributes to many publications, including Time, The New York Times Magazine, and Vanity Fair. Her work has been widely collected and exhibited and is included in the collections of the Harvard Art Museum in Cambridge, Museum of Fine Arts in Houston, Tirana Collection in Boston, the Jewish Museum in New York, Rose Art Museum, Brandeis, Brooklyn Museum, New York, Corcoran Gallery of Art, Washington, D.C., and a wide range of corporate and private collections. We are talking about her new book, Family Matters. Welcome, Jillian. Thanks so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Family Matters.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to you.
And as we were just chit-chatting about
we have so many, you know, mutual connections. And I was just like, okay, how many people are recommending I do this book? This is crazy. So, and once I read it, I was like, oh, it's like, so when I first saw the, well, okay, let me back up. Why don't you tell listeners about your book and how it's a photography book and you're an amazing photographer and how you also include essentially a memoir in photos and an accompanying text. Now you talk about the project.
Okay. So it didn't start out, the words were kind of the last to come to be integrated into the book. So I'm a photographer and I've been photographing my family for 20 years. It began not really as a project, and over time it's evolved into a project. And then in 2016, it became clear that this was more of a project than I was intending, as I navigated really tricky territory with my family as they all became passionate Trump supporters. So the book is really from 1999 to 2020. And after I edited all the photographs, I realized that it was really, really, really important that my voice, that I give context to the photographs. And although I really believe photographs should and they do stand on their own, the text became just as important here as the photographs. So it is a traditional photography book, but it's meant to be read from cover to cover.
Which is what I did, which was great. You include so much of your family history and going back, and your grandfather, who was clearly just is linchpin the right word? You know, the spoke around which your whole family operated, and he was clearly such a character. Tell me a little more about his background and how he sort of came to be who he was. And, you know, the photo you have of your grandmother kind of spanking his tush in, I don't know, some sort of zebra print little bathing suit with his tan wrinkled skin. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my grandparents were really my first muses. Like they were just complete characters and incredibly wonderful, generous, loving, and they just had such a joie de vivre. And so they also had the typical immigrant story where they came to America, their parents came to America, you know, only surviving children coming to America from Eastern Europe and building their American dream and really, you know, worked their fingers to the bones and then had the dream of really building this family business together. So my grandfather built and included everyone. And I grew up just knowing that my entire family worked together and family was really everything.
I love also how your dad ends up working for your grandfather and how that creates tension. And there was like this whole dynamic and how he seemed like he was sort of his son versus his own. Anyway, you know, unspoken family politics you spoke about.
I think that there's a lot of, I mean, families are fascinating. We all have them and they're really complicated. So I, for 20 years, was kind of trying to navigate that visually and tell the visual story about it. But then there's so much to explore in the nuance, which is what I tried to do with the words.
I think my favorites were of your Aunt Carol. Is that her name? Was your Aunt Carol? Oh my gosh.
Well, there is an Aunt Carol. There's an Aunt Doris. There's an Aunt Dorothy.
It was the one where she was smushed on the couch, like laughing at the camera.
Oh, that's Aunt Doris.
Aunt Doris, sorry. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Mixed in with your whole family narrative in these little captions, you have one line in there that talks about the fact that you ended up with some sort of eating situation, disorder, hospital. What happened? Can you talk about it?
I mean, I think that it wasn't a large part of the book, but I think food was such a, I think in our Jewish big family, food is such a big part of our life and world and tradition. And I also was very, very well aware that the women were not, there was a lot of shame in that. And there was fear of food and there was overindulgence in every way, but also such restrictions. So as a little girl, it wasn't talked about, but really, you know, it was like, I mean, I'm sure I'm speaking the same language that you grew up, you know, I think that everyone can relate to this. It was part of a code that you just follow. You have to look a certain way, be a certain way. And I think that I really internalized that as a little girl, obviously, and I wasn't conscious of what it was doing to me. And, you know, now I think we're much more open with our children, but then we didn't have the tools to really talk about what was going on. There were a lot of unspoken things that went on in our families.
Yes, I love your little oink. Do you have a pig that went oink every time you opened the fridge?
Oh, it was like a joke that my grandmother had that every time you opened the fridge, there was that oinking pig, which was hilarious. I mean, there's so much humor in the book and in the story and in my family, but there's also, you know, some dark sides that I explored.
I loved your photo of the lox and the whole spread. Oh my gosh. I mean, I love, you know, you do a good job of, you know, capturing personality, but also scenes, right? Like there's just the one thing that defines the whole moment. You just like capture the whole thing. Talk to me about how you became a photographer. Like this was always a secret dream of mine. So I'm like, like living the dream. Well, I just like love, I always am taking pictures. I used to have all these big cameras. I was like photo editor, my yearbook. I like spent my weekends in the dark room. And
I love that.
I went to like a summer program at Bennington College in photography. I love photography. Love.
Oh, wow. Yep. Okay.
I just loaded my new phone and it has 120,000 photos on it. That's like, oh no. So obviously that's not real photography, but anyway.
I hope that you have a lot of iCloud storage.
Yes, I do.
So it's kind of a cliche because, you know, my grandfather gave me my first camera when I was 6 years old because I still have those photographs actually. It was a Polaroid. And I would pose everyone. So I was directing even as I was a young child, having people pose for me. And the truth is I really always felt most comfortable and it's my way of engaging in the world and with people. So I'm, you know, so fascinated by people and their stories. And it really started naturally at a young age. And then I studied photography. So my hobby and my love became my work. And I feel really lucky for that.
What did you start out shooting with and what do you shoot like camera wise and what do you shoot with now? Like, do you start with film?
I am a film lover. I'm a major film lover. And I'm sad to say that I do shoot digital now, but I found a digital camera that I use just like a film camera. And the file really feels, everyone that sees the pictures actually ask if it's still filmed, which makes me so happy. But so professionally when I started, I fell in love with a medium format camera called the Mamiya RZ67, and it had a Polaroid back. Mm. And that was kind of the magic for me, is everyone that I made a portrait of, I could give them something in exchange, or they could be part of the portrait. So I would make a Polaroid. I'd probably make, you know, six or seven, and then I'd start shooting film and we'd all have Polaroids from the actual portrait sitting. So now I've moved on to digital and I use a Pentax medium format.
Wow. So cool. Okay. So one of the main themes of the book were having different political views from your family. And they obviously were trying so hard, because you quoted them a lot, to get you to see their point of view. And you were trying so hard to get them to see your point of view. Not that these were unique points of view. These were like, you know, the embodiment of really everyone in America. So you captured the dialogue going on everywhere. And what happens when it's right there. I mean, I'm reading this other book right now where the person said, like, her parents, actually by Gretchen Carlson, and she said her parents, one always voted Democrat and one Republican. And she's like, why do you guys even bother? Like, you both should just not vote. Like, you cancel out each other's votes. Why do you even bother? So obviously this plays out over and over again in people's homes, but this was obviously a very dramatic time. So just talk to me about how you navigated that and sort of how it all wrapped up afterwards, now that this whole thing has passed, because I loved that part of the book too.
So the past, I mean, the thing is, who someone votes for, that never really made a difference to me. You know, they voted for both Democrats and Republicans, and they've always been fiscally conservative, but it was more about the passion for Trump that was just so unsettling. And also the kind of maligning of Hillary Clinton, I couldn't wrap my head around it. It just became so toxic. So therefore, my family, I'm really, really, really close with my family. And it was like an existential crisis in those 4 or 5 years. And I'm thankful that I had photography to kind of help me. It's always been the tool that helps me kind of understand people and the world and navigate through difficult issues. But I never thought I'd be doing that with my own family, which is what I started to do and investigate kind of my own judgments too. My own, you know, they called me out as well. Like, they thought I was just as judgmental as I was being, as, you know, they were judging me, I was judging them. And so it was just so divisive. I mean, I think that this is what a lot of people experience, but I also think that people weren't talking about it at that time. It kind of felt like my dirty secret. And the friends of mine who are also going through the same thing didn't talk about it because it was scary, because it caused so much divisiveness and judgment. So working through the book, I have to say at this time last year, it's like it's marking, right? Because it was Thanksgiving 2020. I was terrified about what was going to happen. And I think that once Biden was elected, my father at the inaugural speech, my father texted me and it's like just tears came streaming down my face because he said, okay, I'm ready for unity. Like, let's move forward. And it's like all the air came out of the balloon. And, you know, not that it's just everything's going to be better. And we're still in a really complicated situation, but just on a micro level that there wasn't constant fighting and tension with my family. It's like, okay, we are turning the page. We are onto the next chapter. And that was when I could really say, okay, this next chapter is about rebuilding. It's about healing. And that is how I was able to really finish the book, because it was looking back on what we had just all lived through and kind of forging forward of like, how are we going to move forward and heal? And that's why I really ended the book with a letter to my daughters, which was important to me. So, you know, it marked this time for us and why it was important and what I wished for them.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white
open long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hey, grown-ups. The Cat in the Hat cast is a new podcast from Wondery, perfect for the whole family. Join the Cat in the Hat and your favorite Dr. Seuss characters as they get whisked away on a new adventure every week. Fish dreams of creating his very own polite and quiet podcast. That is, until he gets a surprise visit to his Fishbowl podcast studio from the Cat in the Hat himself, and it becomes very clear that the cat has other plans for the podcast, and those plans are the opposite of quiet. The cat may be disruptive, but it turns out he's also a great help to get Fish out of all kinds of predicaments. Bursting with music, silliness, and rhymes, the Cat in the Hat cast encourages us all to find fun that is funny in every episode. So sing along to new favorite songs, try your luck at Titanic tongue twisters, have some fun with wondrous wordplay, and most importantly, bring your family along for all of the adventures in the Cat in the Hat cast. Follow the Cat in the Hat cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Cat in the Hat cast ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Love it. You also, the way you treat your daughters in the book and the way you depict them, I should say, not treat them, the way you depict them and the picture you had of when your grandmother was passing away and your daughter was laying on the couch when she was in the hospice bed and she, oh my gosh. I mean, you can sense your love of family through your words, through your pictures, and it just sets it up so that you see how sort of traumatic this relationship cleaving was to you.
Yeah.
The close-knitness, suddenly the you know, threading, the threads were fraying. And, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
You like really took us along for the ride. And I'm so happy that you ended on such a positive, right? Both for you, because of course the whole time I'm rooting for you and like what's going to happen and how are they going to get through this, right? Because it was pretty dramatic in your family. I mean,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was. It felt like through those 4 years, there was almost like grieving.
Yes. Yeah.
And a lot of pain. So I'm relieved that we are in kind of the, you know, as we have Thanksgiving this year, there is a different feeling. I'm coming into Thanksgiving with a totally different mindset than I had last year at this exact time.
So since the book has come out, how has this impacted your family?
I think that my parents were, it was very emotional for my family to read the book. They knew every photograph that was going to be published because I wouldn't publish photographs without their consent. But the words I think were hard. They know that there was so much love there, but I think that above all, they respected the work and they appreciated my honesty and really respected my honesty. So that was the most important and what I felt most relieved by. But it's crazy because I think that this book actually made us closer because certain things were like now on the table. You know, we could talk about certain things that were just kind of like the elephant in the room before. And it's talking in a way that's not fighting, although there is a lot of arguing, but there's the toxicity of it all has kind of vanished.
That's great. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad it sort of helped and was therapeutic. You know, it seemed like, you know, it's a therapy that many people need to go through, I feel like, as we all come together.
It did feel like therapy, I have to say. But the one thing also is that it's very specific to my story, but it does feel like other people have, it resonates even in a way that's not specific to my family when people have read it and shared it with their own family.
That's great. So what next? What are you working on now? Tell me more about the ICP thing that's going on.
Oh, so, well, there's the ICP show. It's a solo show of Family Matters as well. And it's up until January 10th. I have this Southern Rites, which is my previous project, and that continues to travel around the country. And I'm working on a new film.
Ooh.
So, yeah, but that is... I can't exactly talk about that yet, but I direct documentaries as well. So I have a new film project.
Very cool. Yeah. You can't say anything, nothing at all.
I can't.
Nothing at all. Okay. Well, you got like so excited talking about it. So that's really awesome.
Yeah.
My husband's company just optioned the rights to make some sort of documentary. I'll have to put you guys in touch for future.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So he optioned the rights.
Like something was in the works and now they're producing it. I don't know. I'll get back to you.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. It might be too late for that one, but for future projects. So anyway,
he's a producer.
Yep. And what advice would you have for people, you know, two questions. One, for people going through something similar now, when they feel that there is something in the communication that there is a gap sort of between their family and themselves, like how do you navigate it? What advice would you have having sort of survived this rift? And also then advice for aspiring artists of all kinds, photographers, authors, like what's your advice to them?
So, okay, well, I'm going to start with the second question. So my advice to any artist, because this is something that I lived through, there was three times in this process that I stayed up all night and decided that I was not going to publish this book because I was really terrified. And I thought the repercussions maybe were not worth sharing this story. And I ultimately realized that I have to tell, you know, storytelling is a way of healing. And making your work is really, really, really important. And I think that there will always be fear, mm-hmm. but the actual work is more important to make than the fear is. Yeah. And I learned that over and over and over again with every project. And if it's not scary, then there's actually something wrong in a way. Like every really, I think, important thing that I've ever worked on or made or put out in the world has always been terrifying. And I think it's important to just keep plowing through and feeling all the feels and going to those scary places, but not letting it paralyze you because it really can paralyze you.
Love it. What about advice to navigate your family rifts?
I think listening. I think we don't listen enough. And I think listening is a big thing and trying to put yourself, what I did with my parents, I'll never fully understand their choices, their political choices. But what I do understand is I think I thought back to where they came from. I think it's important to meet people where they are, mm-hmm. and to understand why they made the choices they made. Where is their fear coming from? Where is their pain coming from? Where are there's certain things, everyone makes choices for different reasons. And I think it's important to really actually think about more deeply without judging why people are making certain choices. And you learn a lot when you ask those questions.
Very true. Excellent advice for all sorts of issues. Just quickly, who are some of your favorite photographers?
Oh God, there are so many, but I can say that the photographers who had an impact on me when I was studying is Deanne Arbus. She was a huge influence on me. August Sonder, Sally Mann, Nan Golden. I'm kind of like the obvious. I'm not saying anything that's new here, but there are so many photographers. There's a show right now at the Guggenheim that I'm dying to see, Gillian Waring. She's a photographer and artist. That's up right now. I'm trying to think what else is up right now in New York to see. But there's so many. I'm constantly looking at other people's work. And I love so many artists that are making work today.
I did a whole paper in college about Sally Mann. This is back in like probably 1996 or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then I got her. Have you read Hold Still? And that's her.
I did. Yes.
I should actually try to get her on the podcast. Oh my God.
Oh, you should.
Cool.
Yes, you absolutely should.
I'm writing myself a note. That would be so awesome since I read that book a while ago. Anyway, amazing. I also feel like your photographs have kind of this like Annie Leibovitz quality, right? That like interior moment. I don't know. There's something.
Well, we're both, I mean, thank you. I actually did just spend the day with her photographing her.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very, very, very special experience. And yeah, she's.
Oh my gosh. That is so cool.
It was very special.
Wow. Amazing. All right. Thank you so much. This is so fun.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Talk for much longer, but I better go. Okay. Anyway, so to be continued in person, and I'm so excited to come see your show.
Yay. Okay, great. So nice to meet. We'll talk soon and see each other soon.
All right.
Okay.
Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.